Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This segment on The Fan brought to you by Tally's Tap and Eatery. Wednesday is homemade dinner night with drink specials on wine splits, domestic bottles, plus live music from Ben, Jensaw, and Dirty Boogie. Tally's Tap and Eatery, Sunset Drive in Waukesha.
The guys on The Big Show have been going at it for 3 hours, but they haven't crashed and burned. Yet.
Well, it's The Big Show.
It's time to reset today's big topics and let you pick a lane. Brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove. Purchase your 2020 season passes at GreatLakesDragaway.com.
5 o'clock hour of the Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. And we'll delay Great Lakes Dragaway pick a lane for a little bit. It's Championship Wednesday, so we go north. Leroy Butler, Gary Ellison, C. Sparky Pfeiffer, I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch. And we hit the Great Midwest Bank Hotline with our guy Ryan Wood here on 105.7 FM, The Fan. Woody, in that auditorium, some guys talking for the first time on that big stage, man. This is one of my favorite days of the year as the nerdy broadcast guy that I always wanted to be. Seeing just the backdrop, but then hearing Gary and Leroy talk about that room being the first time, you know, Aaron Jones is going in there, Devontae Adams going in there. It's a different feel, and it felt like you got some real openness from those guys today.
This week is a completely different feel than any week that precedes it, and I've never covered a Super Bowl. I imagine that would feel even different than this week, but there's no question that you've got, it's been 18 weeks at this point. This week is unlike any other week. I mean, as soon as you walk in on Wednesday, you see the backdrop that has NFC Championship game behind on the podium. You know it's a different week.
Well, and then they remind you that it is tax season because they do have to sponsor it out and make a little bit of money around all this stuff. But TurboTax.
The NFL, so yes.
Right, you got to make a couple of bucks. Now, Ryan, we were talking about it a little bit earlier. So you've covered two NFC title games, the 14 and 16 game. Back into 2010, Rodgers' performance in this round has been subpar. I mean, you're looking at the passer rating, just a tick over 70. And the interception to touchdown ratio, something that he is glorified for, 4 touchdowns to 5 picks. If that's rectified, are they going to Miami?
Yeah, I mean, if there's better quarterback play, I don't think there's any question that goes a long way. This team is better around Aaron Rodgers than what they've had. You could even say better around Aaron Rodgers than 2014, and that team was pretty good around Aaron Rodgers. But this seems even better around Aaron Rodgers. The defense is better. The run game is very consistent and explosive. The offensive line is right up there with some of the best they've had. It's a really good team around the quarterback, so it's a good opportunity. Now the 49ers are kind of similar to that, right? I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo is good, but around Jimmy Garoppolo, the 49ers are really, really good. I mean, they've got a ridiculous defense. That defense is nasty. 4 first-round picks in the defensive front. Richard Sherman on the back end. They've got that outside zone running scheme that really supports the quarterback, disguises the intentions of the offense and what they're going to do, run a lot of stuff, very, very similar looks. It's two teams that mirror each other from that end. So does the better quarterback win this week? I mean, probably a good chance of that.
Yeah, I was wondering, do the media, do you guys like when the Smith brothers do their interviews together? I think it's epic. I love it. I just love everything they do together. I think they know that they were brought in to get this team to a Super Bowl. I just absolutely love it. Do you think the media like it or they don't like it?
You want a little inside baseball, Leroy?
Yeah, come on.
I'm not going to say I dislike it. I think it's better for the visual end than it is for the print guys. And what I mean by that is visually having the two of those guys standing there is tremendous.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean it's unique. I've never seen that before. There are times though when especially if you don't care about the visuals, if you're like writing a story, that it's easier to talk to one or the other, because you might not always have questions for they are two different guys, so you might not always have the same question for if I need to talk to Preston Smith about something, I might not need to ask Za'Darius Smith, so that can make it difficult. But from the visual side of it, here's the thing. The bottom line is that these guys are authentic to who they are. They were good yep. friends well before they ever were teammates. They came up together through the SEC, and it's an authentic thing to them. It shows their relationship, and so, yeah, if you're a Packers fan, I think, it's a tremendous thing.
Is there a moment or moments or a couple of moments that you can remember during the locker room this season, in the regular season, or maybe into the playoffs to this point, where you're like, this has a different feel about it maybe than the last couple of years I've covered this team, as far as player interactions or something that may have occurred?
As far as inside the locker room, it all blends together. It's hard to say. I think that you've seen some new leaders emerge in the locker room, as far as, when I say leaders, guys that lend their voice more predominantly in public to us, to the media, than you've seen in the past. Aaron Jones is a guy that, you saw him in the podium today. He's assumed that kind of a role. Devontae Adams doesn't have Randall Cobb here anymore this season, so he is the lone voice now in the receiving room, whereas his entire career has always had another veteran. So you go with those two guys at the podium today, they've been in different roles when it comes to the handling the public communication, the messaging part of their job. I think David Bakhtiari is another guy that, he's been there for the past couple of years, but every year he just becomes more and more prominent, to the point that now he's literally part of the leadership council inside the locker room. Maybe subtle differences. I don't know if there's anything groundbreaking, though.
Talking with Ryan Wood here on the Wendy's Big Show. 105.7 FM, The Fan. Ryan, how are they going to stop George Kittle? Now, word coming out of San Francisco, he did not practice today, nursing a little bit of an ankle injury. But, I mean, we saw what he was doing banged up to the Packers in Week 12, and six catches on six targets and over 120 yards and the long touchdown. He was an absolute monster. So is it going to be a Blake Martinez? They try to zone this thing? Or is there one answer that you can have, or does it have to be a multiple look to try to slow down 85?
I'm sure you'll see multiple looks. You know what's going to get outside the matchups, and what's going to probably help more than anything else is the improved communication. You go back to that game in late November, and the Packers' defensive communication was literally a mess. They were all over the map, and there is a reason why you saw so many more busted coverages, missed gaps, just explosive plays given up before San Francisco and then after. And the reason, quite frankly, a big, huge reason for this and the resurgence that you saw in December is, I was talking with Blake Martinez in the locker room today. He said that the day after they got back, that Monday, the players came into film review an hour before they were scheduled to meet as a team. The defensive players came in and had a players-only film session where they picked over the explosive plays. Blake Martinez said about 50 explosive plays from the previous 11 games. And they kind of hashed it out. Like, what are your responsibilities? Blake Martinez said that one of the things that came out of that meeting was that there were certain position groups that thought that their responsibilities were different than what other position groups thought. So there was no cohesion within the defense because they were kind of operating on different wavelengths. And having that hour to really hash it out and to talk about it, and this is what you're supposed to do here, it's not the other, it's been a big reason why you've seen this defense resurface as a top 10 scoring defense, and a defense that's nasty again, because you're not seeing those busted coverages and miscommunications.
Staying with defense, Jair Alexander and Kevin King kind of been quiet here for the last two or three weeks, don't you think? I guess, which is a good thing.
I mean, yeah. How many? I gotta go look at the stat sheet. How much production did DK Metcalf have? I mean, he had a pretty quiet night. Mm-hmm. I think they've been good. Quiet. They haven't had a lot of turnover generating plays.
But right.
I think they've been fine.
Ryan, when you're in this position at this particular point in the playoffs, there's going to have to be the changing of the guard, and somebody's going to have to step up here. When I look at the game that happened in Week 12, it was a totally different game once Alex Light came into the ball game. Is Jared Valdir a permissible backup? Say the same situation goes down in the middle of the second quarter. How much different do you think the result is where the Packers are right now, personnel-wise and depth-wise there?
Well, there's a reason why Brian Bulaga is a starter. And you're just – Brian Bulaga is better than Jared Valdir. But Alex Light is the reason why the Packers went out and claimed Jared Valdir. And in some ways, the night he had in San Francisco turned out to be a good thing for this team because it meant that they had Jared Valdir when Brian Bulaga got sick in the divisional round. I don't know if they win that game without Jared Valdir being on this roster.
Well, watching him go up against Nick Bosa, Ryan, I don't think he's stopping Jadeveon Clowney once in that game.
The reality is that Alex Light gave up 3 sacks and was responsible for a fourth against the 49ers earlier this year. The mess of pass protection, Alex Light was the primary culprit. Not the only culprit, but the primary culprit. So what's the gap? Probably pretty significant. I wouldn't say night and day because it's not like Jared Valdir's Brian Bulaga, but it's a pretty big gap.
Would you say this Packers team is more talented on offense than the Niners?
I don't know. It's so hard to say. You know, the thing that the 49ers offense has is a lot more institutional knowledge and time in the system.
Right.
You know, they're a couple years ahead. And so, to me, the biggest difference would be that than any talent here or there. I think the Packers offense is really good when they shrink the rotation like they did. You know, they just give Aaron Jones the ball, force it to Devontae Adams, have Aaron Rodgers hit his checks the way he needs to. It was a pretty good game plan. It's just they're going up against an offense that's a couple of years ahead of a very similar scheme.
When you go into this day, though, is it scheme or is it quarterback play that changes the game?
It's both. I think especially in these offenses, scheme is heightened, and scheme means a whole lot more than, say, in Mike McCarthy's offense, where it's just matchup-based and go win your one-on-ones. The scheme is greatly important with both of these head coaches, but that doesn't mean that quarterback play is historically, that's what wins in January is quarterback play, and I don't think that's necessarily changed. So I think definitely, I mean, both are hugely important for totally different reasons.
Yeah, I really feel like I'm stuck on quarterback play. I think that's the reason why the most experienced quarterback, you have to feel good as a Packer fan. I just don't think it's that slam dunk of people. I know a couple of 49er fans actually live in the area, and they're on cloud nine thinking they're going to the Super Bowl. But I say this was a 4-12 team a year ago. Where do you get all this confidence from? That was a regular season. Things are different now. So that's what I'm going to lean on, experience. Mostly coming from Aaron Rodgers, I expect him to put up just an unbelievable day.
Well, you never know what's going to happen in these games. You know, the two NFC Championship games that I have covered previously, the 14-1, I thought there was no way in the world that the Packers were going to go back out to Seattle where they just lost by 20 points earlier in that season and win that game. And they didn't, but they were the better team. It was one of the few examples of when the better team doesn't win. The Packers were the better team that day, and they didn't win because of a miracle collapse. And then in 16, when they go down to Atlanta, I had the exact opposite feeling. I thought for sure that the Packers would go down to Atlanta. Aaron Rodgers was red, smoking hot, run the table, and that they were going to come back NFC champions, going to the Super Bowl. And they got wiped off the field. I mean, it was as one-sided as it could be. So My gut has been totally wrong in these past two, and it's not a coincidence. I mean, it's really hard to know when you boil everything down to 60 minutes. There's literally anything that can happen, and it's so unpredictable. So I don't think that the fact that they lost by 29 points 7 weeks ago means a hell of a lot. I don't think it's that significant this week because this is an entirely different situation.
Oh, man, I just cannot wait for kickoff of this game, Ryan. I can't wait. Cannot wait.
You can't wait?
Just cannot wait. Ryan, I wasn't going to ask you this, but it just came across. So are you Yvonne B15 covering up for your boy Carlos Beltran, or is that actually his burner account?
is there any news? I've been on pins and needles. I've been buried in Lambeau Field today, but I've been on pins and needles all day. Don't do this to me, Billy.
Nothing yet. Dude, nothing yet.
It doesn't matter who your manager is. You're going to suck. It doesn't matter.
No, they're good, man.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the Mets, so of course. But I'm also a Mets, so I'm an eternal pessimistic optimist, and I'm all kind of screwed up inside. So, you know, we'll see.
There we go. I love getting this guy to part on just a very, very good, happy, cheerous note. Ryan, we'll talk Friday, man, all right?
All right, take care, guys.
Take it easy, man. That's Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Guys, has your passion outgrown your home? The Great Midwest Bank Home Renovation Loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com. Simply local lending since 1935. This is the Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan. We're going to hear from the man that called himself a one-star guy coming up at 5:35. It's the Wendy's Big Show. We reset the big topics. Give you the final say on them at 414-799-1250 next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.